Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Or a person, activity, or a cause. All right? We have a lot of people that are devoted to many things, right? We live in a society where your devotion, it shows. On Sundays, we're going to see a high level of devotion in the Seattle area by the colors people wear, right? Now, what are the colors that we're talking about? Anybody know the blue and green or lime, whatever colors? They're so devoted to their teams. I actually have ran into some people that are not fans of Seattle, and they wore their favorite team's colors, and they were like, man, I've been up here before, but now, like, it's almost like they want to fight me because I'm wearing a different color jersey or because I like a different team. But it shows how devoted, quote unquote, because I like the Seahawks, but I'm not fighting for no Seahawks, right? Just because you got a different jersey on. But it shows how devoted people have become to something which is a sport, which is really doesn't really do anything for your life, right? Your life and death is not it. Well, if you get hit the wrong way, it might be there. But you have to understand that your life will continue without sports. One day I was just thinking, like, man, how come sports has become so big in people's lives? It really doesn't. It's great. It trains you to learn competitiveness. It trains you to get better and utilize whatever gift you have. But outside of that, it's just a sport. It's not really life. But people are so devoted to it. I mean, we can even talk about fans, but even if we think about the athletes, their devotion to football or devotion to whatever sport they are involved in is super high. There was a brother that came to our church, and when football season started and even in off season, they can't eat what we eat. Did you guys know that? Not everybody that plays football, most of them, they have a strict diet on what they can eat. Why? Because they want to keep their bodies fit. So they're not going to be eating fried chicken with you, right? They're not going to be going and getting ribs and, you know what I'm saying, whatever. Some people get hungry when I start preaching, so let me not call out no foods. But my wife is like, yeah, please stop. Hallelujah. But they are so devoted to being in shape that they even change what they eat. They change what time they go to bed. They change who they hang out with. Right? And this is just for a sport. But how many of you know we have to do the same thing in our walk with God? We have to have such a high devotion that we change what is coming into our spirits. Why? Because we don't want the temple of God to be defiled. Amen? Amen. We have to change the way we walk, change the way we talk by allowing God to lead our steps and our mouth. Amen? So this isn't very important. Last week I talked about some of the things people were devoted to. One of them was they can either be devoted to God or mammon. Who remembers what mammon was? Riches. All right. So everybody, when you hear the word mammon, because like I said, we don't say that today. If you get, you know, when you're walking down the street and somebody says, man, I really love mammon, you'd be like, what are you talking about? Salmon? No, they said mammon. But it really means that they love the riches of this world. Amen. Another thing we talked about was, are you loyal to God or not? Or what does loyalty look like? We also said, we talked about how many of us have started some things, but we never finished it, right? And we all are guilty of that. We started something, I got great intentions. I'm going to do this every week. And then week three, it's like, oh, well, at least it sounded good, right? I didn't realize how much work was going to be involved. But thank God that when he was going to the cross, Jesus knew what he had to do, right? He knew that he was going to have to die and go to the cross. Thank God he didn't say, yeah, I'm going to go do it, And then he gets down there and is like, oh, that was a little more difficult than what I thought. Let me just, God is just going to be me and you because we ain't going to complete this. Right? But thank God that he completed what he started. Amen? So instead of not doing it, we talked about Acts 14, 21 through 22, which was continuing in Christ. And then Colossians 1, 21 through 29, we were talking about being devoted to the gospel and the lifestyle that goes with it. Today, like I said, we're going to talk about daily devotion. Somebody say daily devotion. I'm going to ask you guys, I know we don't have a lot of people in here right now, but what is the most important thing in your day? What is something that you do all the time? Pray? Great. Pray. Right? What are some other things we do? Eat. Pray, eat, sleep. Oh, there's God knew it was coming. That's what babies do. And then they do other things. But what are the other things that we do daily? These are things we're devoted to. Right? When you think about it, you do it whether somebody tells you to or not. And check it out. If this daily routine that you make up in your day is messed up, you're going to be upset about it. Right? But we have to have, as Jane said, a daily routine of not just praying, but being with God. I was reading a devotional this week, and that's part of reading for me. What I try to do is read a devotional. And what actually, I'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's very important that our daily devotion shows that we are devoted to God. Amen? Because there's going to be a lot of things that come in your day. And sometimes this is why it's important that you start with a devotion. You start your day with, okay, God, let me devote this time to you. That's really what the word devotion is about. Let me give you this time, right, to show you that I appreciate you. Amen. So when you're praying and when you're singing songs to God or when you're reading your word, say, God, let this time be pleasing to you, but also let it fill me up and give me the strength that I need this day to stay devoted to you. Amen. How many have ever not prayed and you saw, man, my devotion was kind of when you got tested in the middle. It was, oh, man. My devotion was a little bit shaky today, God. Help me. And you're going to wake up the next morning and be like, God, help me get this thing right. Why? Because that, even though you missed it one day, you realize, man, I need that. And this is the thing about God. God is going to train you up in him. Amen. He's training us to spend time with him. He's training us to understand what it is and how it impacts our life when we are connected to him. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, 23. One thing about devotion that you always have to remember is there is going to be some things that you have to what? Sacrifice. All right. You got to get rid of some things. That's the only way that this works. How many of you feel like sometimes there's not enough time in the day to do all the things you want to do? Right? So when time is running short, you have to sacrifice something, right? And I'm not telling you to go kill something, put it on the barbecue and all that. I'm just saying sometimes you have to sacrifice those things because you only have this and this amount of time. Yesterday, I'm actually looking to start doing a little side job, and my wife, she had a doctor's appointment, but I had planned to go get what I needed to get inspected yesterday. But the doctor's appointment was in the middle of the time, right? So what did I have to do? I had to be like, well, I just have to wait until another day. I'm going to have to put that aside. So it's the same thing with us spending time with God. There's going to be some things that are just distractions, right, at that moment. And sometimes they can be good. Have you ever had a good distraction? Yeah, there's some good distractions. It don't sound good when you say it, but there's some good distractions. Right, you wanted to pray, and all of a sudden, oh, man, that was a good distraction, right? Somebody calls you in the middle of your prayer. You ever had that happen? You're reading the word, somebody call you, you're on the phone trying to read, and that distraction keeps you from doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you have to sacrifice. What I do is I turn my phone on airplane mode. That means I'm not getting any distractions. So while I'm praying and when I'm reading, I don't want to hear a tweet, the tweet this or Facebook message or whatever the distraction is. But let's read this, Luke 9, 23 through 26. It says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires," somebody say desires. So one thing about your devotion is this is going to be something that you must desire. All right. So if you don't desire to be with God, it's not just going to happen. Right. Matter of fact, it won't happen if you don't desire to be with God. This is why it's very important that your desires line up with the will of God. Amen. It says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. All right. That's that thing that they have to sacrifice. Guess what? You are going to have to sacrifice you. Right? To be devoted to God. You guys, catch that. You're going to have to sacrifice your own desires so you can be devoted to God. You cannot devote yourself to yourself and to God at the same time. Why? Because that's what we talked about last week on Sunday. You cannot serve two masters because between the two, you will be torn. Right? So what does that look like? Well, if I am devoted to myself, but I still say I am devoted to God, there's going to be a time where, I'm going to stay devoted to myself. And this is why it's dangerous to be devoted to yourself, because when somebody wants to harm you for the sake of the gospel, you can't say, well, I'm going to devote myself to myself, right? And we are living in a day and age where that's happening now. So these people have decided that even if I see, if my body, this flesh, seems harm, I'm going to devote myself to God because my devotion to him is stronger than any pain that I might ever see. Me and my wife was watching a movie yesterday. I don't remember the name of it, but it was about a soldier that was in a army camp, and he was in the enemy army camp. He was a prisoner of war, and they had did a whole bunch of things to him. And to other soldiers, and he had been caught working with the enemy, because he said, I'm just going to do anything so I can get out of this place, right? So at that moment, and they had a court case trying to explain, you know, what happened, and a lot of horrible things happened, but he was facing court martial because he had worked with the enemy. Why? Because he tried to save himself, right? So when you do that, there's going to be certain things that happen in your life. There's going to be plenty of pain, but we cannot allow that to stop us from being devoted to God. Amen. I know some people that say, hey, I'm going to live for the Lord. They start living for the Lord. And one day, oh, man, all hell broke loose in this day. Right. And then they say, man, I thought when I lived for God, it was just going to be easy. That's not the truth. I'm going to tell you this. Live for the world, and it's going to be easy. Okay? You might have a little bit of trials and little tribulations. Everybody does. Let's just put that out there. But when you start living for the God, not only are you going to have trials and tribulations, you're going to have persecution. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want you to do what you do. People in the world who are living for them or devoted to themselves, they don't want you to do what you're doing because they feel like it is stopping what they are doing. So now you're facing tribulation and persecution on top of your trials and tribulations. Why? Because the enemy is at work to stop you from being devoted to God. Okay? Why do I say that? Because that was the devil's job in heaven. He was devoted to God until he said, all that devotion that he's got, let me just get that to myself. Man, I be singing good. Right? That's what Lucifer was saying. And because his devotion for himself became stronger than his devotion to God, he was kicked out. Amen? So we have to make sure we don't allow little things or even huge things, whatever we see in this life, we should not allow it to stop us from being dedicated to God. Amen? So it says, let him deny himself. Somebody say, deny himself. Matter of fact, say, let's internalize it and say, deny myself. And take up my cross daily and follow him. All right, so if anyone desires to come after me, or if I want to come after Christ, I must deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow him. This is something that you must do once a week? Yes? No? Why? Because it says you must do this daily. All right, so when you think about a daily devotion, one of the biggest things is every day you have to wake up and deny yourself. Take up your cross. So it's a difference between denying yourself and taking up your cross. You know, some people think, oh, I'm denying myself, so that's the cross I got to bear. No, the cross that you got to bear is the sin that has tried to keep you away from God. They use that cross to crucify. What was Jesus a representation of? Sin at that moment. Why? Because he took on your sins. All right? So that same thing where his flesh died to be, he sacrificed himself to get rid of sin. We must do the same thing in our life. Amen. So you deny yourself and crucify the sin that, so as the Bible says, so easily entangles. Right? That's something that you have to crucify daily. And then follow him. Amen. It says, for whoever desires to save his life. So if you desire to save your life, you'll lose it. Now that sounds confusing, right? Man, you want to save your life, you're going to lose it in the kingdom of God. Because at that moment, you're devoted to yourself. But then it says, let's read the next part. It says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So when we see people that are facing persecution, if they desire to save their lives in the natural, they lose in the spiritual. That's a scary thing, though. Because, God, what about all of this? They'll lose unless they can repent from that. Amen? And it's a scary thing to, I mean, you know, when we start thinking about persecution and the different things that the church is facing, or the men and women of Christ are facing, it's a scary thing. And when you look at the world and how it's going to do, it's just going to get worse as we continue to. It's been prophesied that was going to happen, correct? In the Bible and Revelation, it doesn't say it's going to get better until Jesus comes back and raptures us. But the world is going to be desperately wicked. It's going to get worse and worse. They're going to accept more and more things that are against the Bible. That's what's going to happen. But we must not try to save our life, but we must be willing to give it up for the Lord. Amen? It says in verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Okay? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed. And when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Let me actually read verse 27. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. So there's a couple of things that I want to talk about. Part of your daily devotion is also not being ashamed of God. Okay? Why? Because really what happens is if you're ashamed of God, you are trying to, you feel like it is making you look bad. If you ever are ashamed of something, it's because you feel like it doesn't make you look right. Right? You guys ever caught that before? If you were ashamed of something, I'm ashamed of my parents because they're ashy today. Right? Some of us had those days. Right? And it might have been some worse things. My dad did this or my mom did this. You were ashamed because it made you look bad. But see, you cannot be ashamed of the gospel because it should never make you look bad. If you're looking at it in the eyes of Christ. Now, if you're looking at it in the eyes of men, you'll be like, man, they're all making fun of me because I said that I love Jesus. And now I look soft to them, but I'm devoted to God. I really don't care what they say. That's the mindset that you're going to have to walk in Christ. Amen? That doesn't mean we don't care about them, right? But they're not going to change what we believe. Just because they say some certain things, it doesn't matter how smart it sounds. If it is against the word of God, we're not with it. Amen? Because we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we must do these things daily to follow Christ. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. And it says, beware, brethren or sisterin, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, we talked about this this week during the Bible study. So that's when somebody, when I preach, it's funny because sometimes God will bring that same scripture that we talked about, and that's called, confirmation, where God is moving and saying the same thing. You might have heard a scripture, and then you go somewhere else and you hear the same theme in that scripture or the same thing. That's because God is trying to allow you to catch what he's saying. Amen? But it says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you who have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But, somebody say but, exhort. Now, what does exhort mean? To lift up, right? To encourage. Okay? So exhort, lift up, encourage one another daily. This is another thing that we have to do daily. This is part of our daily devotion. We should not be the ones putting our brothers and sisters down. Okay? Even if they've fallen, we're not the ones that say, hey, man, you're just a nobody. I thought you were good. That's what the world's going to do. Right? But our job is to encourage them to continue. Okay, look, I know you might have failed, right? We can say that, yeah, you they know that, right? But we want to encourage you to get back up. We know that you might have went the wrong way here, but thank God for his love and his grace and his mercy, and now you have the opportunity to move and grow in God. Amen? That's the heart of a Bible-believing Christian. It should never be to tear somebody down. Because when you tear somebody down, you are not encouraging them. Amen? I saw a sign that said something about the only time you should be looking down on somebody is when you're helping them up. Amen? And when we think about that, that is true. I don't care if you're the poster boy or poster girl for Christianity. Your job should never be to say that I should be lifted up. Because if you're lifting yourself up, who are you devoted to? Yourself. But if I'm devoted to Christ, Christ is the one that showed us how to live this. Hey, man, come on, brother, let's go. We're going to get back up. Let's keep on going. You don't just run by people and run, oh, hey, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to be with the Lord. I see you tripped and fell. That's all right. Our job is to help them up. Amen? So somebody say exhort. Come on, say it like you mean it. Exhort. All right? But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, this is interesting. If you don't exhort somebody, your heart begins to be hardened. Right? Now, a hardened heart is a heart that is not going to listen to God. So those that are not exhorting people are beginning to build for themselves pride in their heart. Why? Because they are feeling like I'm the best. I'm not going to tell you that you're good because I'm good. But that's not the heart of God. Amen? It says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Amen. So what do we see here? There's another thing that I want us to highlight is that we must daily hold on to what we believe in Christ. We must daily hold on that Jesus is our salvation. Outside of him, I am in trouble. Right? Daily, I must remember that without Jesus, I cannot live this life that God wants me to live. Daily, I must remember what he sacrificed so that I can be with him. Amen? If we don't remember these things, we'll begin to think that, oh, okay, it's just about me living a good life, right? It's just about me doing the right things. But I'm going to tell you this, you could do the right things, but still end up in the wrong place, right? So it's not just about doing right, okay? Because if it's just about doing right, then we're going back to the law, right? And that law, we don't want to be held accountable to the law, because if you break one, in God's eyes, you broke them all. But Jesus was the, he was the payment for us to be freed from the law of sin and death. Amen? So now we have to remember and keep him as that number one thing. He is the only reason that I can live holy, because of the sacrifice that he gave. That's the only reason that's the only way I can live right, is by continuing to look to Jesus. Because if I start looking at Jesus, hey, I'll catch you tomorrow. Now I'm not living holy, because I'm not in his presence. I'm not seeking him. When you seek God, you're going to want to do what is pleasing to him. Amen? This is very important. So we have to have devotion in our daily lives with Christ. Amen? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7 through 16. Yeah, I think that's the whole 7 to the end of the chapter. It says, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. All right? Now, how many of us exercised before? Right? Come on, raise your hand. I was going to ask how many of us exercise all the time, but I know sometimes we don't get the exercise that we're supposed to get, right? But some of us, we exercise. Now, there's been times in my life where if I don't exercise, my body can feel it. Like if I didn't go to the gym today, I can feel it, right? And I'm tired, sluggish, and I'm like, man, I just need to go to the gym, right? So I get in the gym. Why? Because for some weird reason, when you work out, your body feels better, right? If you sit on the couch all day and you relax all day, your body's not going to feel as good as if it did, because there's certain things that your body has to do, right? So it says, exercise yourself toward godliness. So what does that look like? That means, you know, like when you're in the gym, you're doing all these reps. Or if you're running, you're doing it, and you might get tired, breathing hard. Whoa, let me keep on going. You're feeling sleep, but you keep on doing it. It's the same thing with God. Let me exercise my faith today. What does that look like? God, even if it doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like, I'm going to trust you, God. When that happens today I'm going to exercise my faith. Today I'm going to exercise being whatever God wants me to be. I'm going to utilize what he's given me. If this is a gift that he's given me, let me use it. I'm going to exercise this. Using this so that God will be glorified in my life. Amen? It's very important that we do that. And it says, for bodily exercise profits a little. Now, some of us, we think it profits a lot. But this is in the eyes of God. Okay, it's great to be in good shape. But you could be in good shape, but still not be in the best shape that God wants you to be in. Amen? It says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness, or exercising towards godliness, is profitable for all things. All right? So when you think about how good it feels to be in that good shape, and some of us, we have an ideal place that we want to be in our natural bodies. Right? But how many of us have an ideal place that we want to be in our spiritual body? Right? You should be looking at it and say, okay, you might step on a scale and be like, I want to lose this amount. You should do that. And you should have a spiritual scale that you step on and say, it's time to go up. I need to go further in God. Right? I need to search out and see, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And part of that scale that we talk about is being in the presence of God. Because when you're in the presence of God, when you hear his voice, he's going to say, son or daughter, I love you. But now let's continue to grow in this area. I want you to use this so that today there might be somebody that you smile to or something that you ever, whatever you do, whatever God tells you to do, it's going to impact their life. So you have to be in spiritual shape to do that. Amen. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that of which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in a living God. Another part of daily devotion is trusting God. Amen. Now, see, it's easy to trust God when everything looks good, right? It's hard to trust God when it doesn't look good. How many of us have ever been in that situation where you're like, God, I'm trusting you, but it doesn't look like anything's changing, right? And then at that moment, you either have two choices to make. God, well, even though I don't see it, I'm going to continue to trust you. Or God, it's been nice knowing you, but I'm about to go do me, right? Because I need to take care of this right now. Right. And if we put this in bills, I got to pay this money. I'm trusting you, God. And the bill collector's calling you. Well, OK, I'm just going to have to go make some money another way, God, because it's not happening the way I thought it was going to happen. At least I thought you said it was going to. You know, and what happens is you can either trust God or doubt God. Right. Doubt is going to creep in when you trust God. But you must put doubt in its proper place, in its proper place. You must say to doubt the word of God. You must speak the word to doubt. If you don't speak the word to doubt, doubt is going to continue to come. And even when you speak the word to doubt, it may go away for a while, but it's going to try to creep back up. Why? Because doubt wants to keep you from trusting God. Amen? It says, for this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. All right. So when we look at what Paul is saying, he's telling people to constantly teach that Jesus is the Savior of all men, to those, especially to those who believe. But you also must trust in God and labor and suffer. Right. Now, people look at what the disciples went through back then. And, you know, one person was talking about how the church faced so much persecution in the beginning, right? These disciples, none of them just had an easy, lucky-go life. A lot of them were beat plenty of times. All of the disciples, all of them except for one, were martyred or killed, right? But God used that to still grow the body of Christ. Why did they have to face persecution? Because the devil didn't want the gospel to spread. The devil wants to take out any and every person. The Bible says he is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He is constantly on prowl trying to devour and destroy people's lives. Right? So that's why he wanted to keep the gospel away, because this is the only thing that can save your life. So when the gospel started coming, he's like, hold up, let's try to break this. Number one, he tried to kill Jesus when he was born by killing all the babies. You guys remember that, what happened? And Joseph was divinely warned by God to leave that area, and God saved his life, right? Then all of these other things began to happen as Jesus grew up. The devil thought he won when he killed Jesus. But he couldn't kill Jesus because he was sinless. Amen. And that's him being sinless and walking this life out showed us how to live. Now his disciples got it. Now they're walking this thing out. Right. But they didn't allow the different things that they had to suffer to keep them from continuing to trust God. And we must not let that happen either. Amen. Let's finish this chapter. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example, somebody say, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, he is talking to Timothy right here. He's encouraging Timothy, who was a young man, to continue to walk in Christ. But he also gave him some instructions to let him know that you must continue in this. It says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Right? Sometimes we got a gift and we only use it for a certain season. And then we, oh, God, it was good last week. It was good last year. But God, I need another gift, because so-and-so's gift is, I really like their gift. I think their gift is powerful. I think what they have, man, God, I can really see how you use that. Right? There's going to be times where you look at your gift and realize or feel like it's not important. But I'm going to tell you this, don't neglect the gift. As you continue to use your gift that God has given you, you're going to see not only is God going to sharpen you in that gift, but he's going to use it to bring him glory if your heart is to give God glory. Amen? Now, some people just use the gift to get their own glory. Right? But your gift is to lead people to Christ. Amen? It says, be an example to all believers in what you speak, in the way you act, in how you love, in the spirit, in faith, and in purity. And then he says, continue in these things. This is something that we must daily do. Continue in the things of God. Amen? It's very important that we do that. And it said, take heed. I'm going to read the last verse. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. What is the doctrine? The doctrine is the things that we believe. Take heed to it. What does heed mean? Pay attention. Focus on it. Right? Listen to it. All right? We must do these things so we can continue in these things. A lot of times what begins to happen is people stop heeding the word of God, and then they start putting their own words in place, right? And now they're not continuing in the path of God, because now they started on a good foundation, but now they're building whatever they want to build. And our job should be to build the kingdom of God, not our own house. Amen? Amen. So we must devote ourselves daily to the things of God. And this is going to be the last thing I'm going to say. Your time will prove what you're devoted to. Amen? Your time will prove what you are devoted to. Now, all of us, a lot of us have jobs. You're devoted to your job, right? You won't miss a day because you feel, oh, I might lose it, right? But if you're not devoted to God higher than your job, there's a problem. And I'm not trying to throw nobody under the bus or anything. This is things that we have to learn. We have to learn, okay, our job is cool, but God is bigger than our job, right? And then it comes back to who really is our provider. Is it our job or is it God? Some of us think it's our job. But we devote time. If they say, hey, Johnny, we need you to stay 3 more hours because you have to stay because we got to get things done. Oh, I got to miss church. Well, I'll stay here, right? And we don't like hearing this kind of stuff at church. We want to hear, oh, God loves you, and he's giving you grace and mercy. And I'm not telling you if you miss church, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that, right? But you got to see where your devotion lies. Because some people only want to do that overtime so they can get that double and triple pay, right? Oh, man, I'm working overtime. Yeah. Oh, I can't come to church. That's all right. Who knows if they're paying tithes on that? I'm just saying. But we have to look at what we put time in to know what we are devoted to. Amen? And you can do this with yourself. Begin to look at what are the things that you spend the most time on. And then say, okay, God, how can I make sure, even if I do have to, we all know you have to go to work, right? We all know you're going to be at work. But when you're at work, your heart can still be devoted to God. Amen. Where is your heart devoted to? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word today. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that me and all of that here, dear God, that we would continually devote ourselves to you, oh God. Dear God, I pray, dear God, that you would give us the strength to even withstand any persecution, any suffering, oh God, for your kingdom's sake, oh God. And dear God, we want to pray, dear God, that we can see the growth in our walk with you. We can see how you have grown us up in you, dear God, as we continue to be devoted to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.